Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Today, the U.S. Department of Energy stands at the forefront of helping the nation meet its energy, scientific, environmental, and national security goal, developing and deploying new energy technologies while reducing dependence on foreign energy sources. The success of meeting such a broad mission rests on the pursuit of an effective human capital approach and workforce strategy. What is the U.S. Department of Energy's human capital and workforce strategy? How is energy tackling the human capital challenges it's facing? And what is DOE doing to develop future leaders and pursue a strategic workforce planning approach? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Michael Caine, Chief Human Capital Officer within the U.S. Department of Energy. Welcome to the show, Mike. It's great to have you.
Nice to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. Barb, welcome. Always
Thank
nice
you.
To have you. Mike, before we delve into specific initiatives, I know folks are familiar with the Department of Energy, but could you give us an overview of its history, mission, and continued evolution?
The Department of Energy is one of the most diverse departments in the federal government. It spans the sciences from concept demonstration all the way through applied engineering in the areas of technology, in the areas of energy, and a little known fact, in national security. The department actually manages the nation's nuclear weapons stockpile. That's one of its largest missions.
So with that broad and complex set of missions, could you give us a sense of the department's scale of operations? Tell us about how it's organized, overall budget, number of FTEs, and geographical footprint?
The department is organized around mission areas. There are a number of undersecretaries, three to be specific, one for nuclear security, which takes the nuclear security mission for the weapons programs, non-proliferation worldwide, preventing the spread of nuclear materials, and then the environmental cleanup of the Cold War legacy. Then there's an energy portfolio, which deals with everything from fossil fuels and our management of those resources to our development of renewable technologies and more traditional energy support areas like electricity, electric transmission services, those things that we want to protect in the country and continue to advance. The third and the really most important area we have is the science portfolio. And that's where we look at science in the largest sense, new discoveries, those things that industry does not want to tackle. How do we bring the materials and technologies of tomorrow into the workplace today and make them available to the country?
And what size of what budget are we looking at for such a big—
$26.4 billion is the department's budget. There are 15,000 federal employees that work in the department. And then there are 93,000 contractors who actually manage the nation's national laboratories.
Would you tell us a little bit about your role as the Department of Energy's Chief Human Capital Officer? Specifically, you know, the roles, responsibilities, some of the duties that you perform, and how those efforts support the energy mission?
My job as the Chief Human Capital Officer is really to be the right hand to the senior leadership on how we acquire, retain, and actually deploy talent. So it's how we assure that the programs have the intellectual expertise they need to execute the mission. In the Energy Department, it's all about that expertise. We need highly specialized people, specialized nuclear engineers, specialized scientists, physicists who do the research work, physical scientists who deal with the material property itself, energy sciences, those types of arenas. So we're a very technical department when you look at how we're organized.
With that high level of technical expertise that you need, thinking about your duties and responsibilities, what are your top three challenges that you face in your role, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
One of the immediate challenges that we're facing in the Department of Energy is that, like most federal agencies, we've aged in place somewhat over time. We have a very mature workforce. And so succession planning, pathway, career development is very, very important to us right now. It's one of the top things on my list is to make sure that we have healthy staffing inside of those technical programs. And healthy staffing means we have an array of skill level from the very senior to the entry level. So that knowledge capture that's critical for the government to do its mission work is transferred quickly, consistently, and in fact, fully throughout the workforce. That's one major challenge. The second is dealing with the fact that we have a more mobile workforce today than we've ever had before. And we need to plan for that. We need to plan for telling employees where the next big science project is going to be. And it may not be in the laboratory they're working in today. It may be across the country. And giving them that insight and that information 5 to 6 years ahead of when that job's going to be available so they can prepare as individuals, training-wise, and then as people to move their family or move other things around in their life to accommodate the career mobility that they need. The final piece is one that I mentioned, and it's education and learning. And I'll differentiate learning from education. Education you can program. You can put courses out there. You can decide what you're going to make available. It's learning. It's that career pathing. What information do I need to do the job I have to do today? And what do I need for the next challenge? And how do I acquire that learning? How do I match formal education to job experience? Because when it comes down to it, these jobs are all about judgment, making decisions on behalf of the government with contractors, with laboratories, with international partners that are going to change the face of the country. And that's an important thing.
So speaking of career paths, could you describe your career path for our listeners? You know, how did you start your career and what brought you to this current leadership position?
Well, my career is a bit different than most. I actually started with the federal government a little over 30 years ago. I started working in the National Gallery of Art. And I was an exhibit specialist. I majored in art in college. And when I came in, I thought I was going to do art. Well, it turned out what I was going to do was manage contracts that help build design, manage budgets that got the designs built, that brought the shows in. And that started me on the path of program management and budget management. And I spent the next 16 years in the Defense Department after I left the National Gallery working in aviation programs. And I was a budget officer, and then I was a program manager, and that brought me back to the Energy Department. I was actually recruited to come back to work on trying to size the laboratory budgets and the offices that support them because I had some expertise in that area. That led me into the stand-up of the National Nuclear Security Administration, and that put me back in the HR business. And that's how Secretary Chu finally moved me. He said it was time for me to leave the comfort of that job and move over and contribute on a larger scale.
And it's quite the larger scale. I mean, with that kind of career path, I'm interested to understand from your perspective, what are some of the characteristics of an effective leader? And more particularly, who's influenced your leadership style and management approach?
Well, I think one of the things that makes a good leader is somebody who constantly puts themselves in a position of availability. I think you have to do that. You have to be available to hear many, many voices and be able to recognize the fact that many times you have to seek those voices out. They won't come to you on their own. So that's one thing I try to do. I also look for the fact that in different roles, you have different mentors. So you ask, who are the people who influenced me greatly? Bob Goodnight, the president of SAS, is an individual that I track real time. Why? Because when you look at what he's done retention-wise with a highly technical workforce, you have to say, boy, I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I try to do is look at what he does and try to see how I can fit that into our programs at Energy, our way of dealing with HR and energy. And he really looks at creating a work family and being respectful of the family balance that employees have, but making them understand that they are there to support each other. And he expects them to inquire about their work-life balance and to keep that in tow or in balance as they go through the day.
What is the U.S. Department of Energy's human capital and workforce strategy? We will ask Michael Caine, Chief Human Capital Officer within the U.S. Department of Energy, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.